Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. All right, warriors, welcome to another episode of Hoovering. We got quite sensible last week, so this episode is a response to that in the sense that it is maximum silly. Brilliant performance artist and writer Rachel Mars is the brains and the brawn behind YouTube sensation Pickle Watch Review, where she tries every single gherkin known to mankind. Brilliant. Thanks for listening to Hoovering and for telling other people about this podcast. One way of doing that is to rate, review it, give it a 5-star review and subscribe to it. If you're able to support the podcast financially, it's on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you'll see Hoovering related goodies. I'll swap you in exchange for your hard earned cash. Or if you're like, I'll just give them like a fiver once. You can do that too over at Acast Supporter. Links to everything I just mentioned there, as ever, in the podcast notes. I get my wonky fruit and veg from an amazing company called Oddbox, and I've got a link for you to get a tenner off your first one if you wanted, if you live in or around London, sadly only. The link is in the at the Hoovering Pod on Twitter. Make sure you're following us anyway. It's in the bio of the podcast's Twitter account. Right, so here's the really exciting news. Rachel and I recorded this episode so long ago, at the start of December, when where we live, we were in tier two. We recorded it in person. Rachel came round and we recorded distance, open-aired setting, but we were able to eat the same things at the same time together. Do you remember that? It felt like it would almost be too torturous to put this episode out over January and February, because it just, those months were never ending, weren't they? But now that the prospect of us all eating together with our friends and close ones is feeling a bit near again, relatively anyway, it feels like the perfect episode to crack open March with. Here we go. You, Rachel, are the bringer of pickles.
Oh my goodness. Today I am bringer of pickles. Shall I just...
Just reveal. I'd love to have the pickles revealed.
Okay, so what have we got?
If at any point you're listening and you hear like a loud bang, because there's a massive cat sat underneath my microphone, and he might stand up at some point.
And just be like...
Do you think he thinks it's because it's all so black and white, he's like...
He's like, this is my territory. Yeah. These are my people. these microphone people. He's quite good, isn't he?
He is really good, but he's also an absolute pig. And when the pickles are revealed, he will
try and eat some pickles. We're going to start with a lot of Mrs. Elswood items.
Oh, okay.
So that's a Mrs. Elswood. See, that's a sweet cucumber sandwich slice.
Okay. I feel like I should probably explain, just what in case anyone doesn't already know, but that you are actor, writer, performance artist, etc. But as a sideline, or maybe
a mainline,
is it your new mainline, you have a YouTube series called #PickleWatch,
which is which is basically the only thing I want to do at the moment.
Okay.
In sort of creative output.
Yeah.
So when obviously the shit will hit the fan, everyone's like, go digital. And I was like, I don't know what that means. I don't want to go digital.
I don't know how to do that.
You do it well. And then see, this is the main, there's a missing Mrs. Elswood, which is the beginning of this story.
Right.
Because I went today to get this particular gherkin, which is the Mrs. Elswood hot gherkin.
I've watched this. Was that the first one? It was Mrs. Elswood's hot dill.
Yes. And it was, it's a game changer.
It looked revolutionary. It looked spicy. It started off with you trying that, being like, Whoa. You can see that you're like, oh, there's a party happening. It's more in your eyes, actually, really. Like, everything went very wide.
So spicy. Yeah. So I was trying to get us those today. And then, and because I've got a kind of group of Jewish mates on WhatsApp, and I immediately took a photo. I was like, has anyone ever seen this? And they said, no. Video yourself trying it. And here we are, you know, four episodes later and at least 20 views, I'd say.
I want to talk about the choice of the word pickle over the word gherkin.
Yeah.
Is that an American thing?
It is an American thing. Gherkin watch.
Well, gherkin working.
Gherkin working. Gherkinfluencer. Someone was like, you're a gherkinfluencer. And I was like,
I've got it.
What is it?
Gherkin 9 till 5.
That's the offshoot series.
That has to be the spin-off series. Once this is BBC Two, that can be the Takes Two, the extra slides.
Gherkin 9 to 5.
Please AI host it.
Yes, you absolutely can.
We're thinking of the name.
Yeah, yes. You can. We'll put you in a massive blonde wig and all will be well.
Yes.
Pickle. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I'm like quite strict about normally saying gherkin because I'm like, America, you've got enough.
Yeah.
You've got enough language. We'd like this. But I did, I don't know. I think I did it once because it made me laugh. Pickle watch.
It's really lovely. It sounds great. Pickle watch. It's sort of like, it's really joyful. Makes you think of spring watch.
Spring watch. And also like, pickle's a funny
word.
Watch.
The only funny word than pickle is a quick pickle, like a quickle.
Quickle.
Yeah.
Good.
Great word.
Yeah. Really. It's so many. Yeah. Plinth. I'm a fan of plinth. But it also makes me think of my parents in like the 80s had one of those neighbourhood watch stickers. Do you remember those?
Yes.
It was really threatening thinking about it now. It's basically like, we're looking for criminals from this house.
It was, we're watching you. Yeah. It was a picture of a family all dressed as police.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So Stasi.
Police family.
Really not. Well,
and it was yellow, wasn't it?
Yeah, yellow and black. And like, not what we're about at all, looking
basically back. The same people that had those where I grew up in Dorset would be the same people that would have, I guess, maybe like, either a Union Jack or a Tory poster outside.
It's a problem that I actually need to bring up with them because I think the remnants of it are still in the corner of the window because those things never disappear.
Is it like one of those temporary tattoos that's never come off?
It's still there, inactive.
No.
And I do need to ask them, like, why?
Like, they would have been socially bullied by a neighbour into joining in with that. Yeah, it would have been the sort of thing they would doorstepped on the school run into joining.
I see, Helen and Michael Miles, you have not put up your free neighbourhood watch sticker.
Exactly. These days, that passive aggressive bullying is done in WhatsApp groups.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, exactly. And now we've got the visual remnants of it. But so it made me think about that as well, right. I think. The idea of just like, what? Pickle watch.
I love pickle watch. And it's really joyful for me that I'm going to get to join in with a little bit of pickle watching. Should I get us a fork?
Yeah, I reckon a fork is great. Maybe two forks.
Two forks, two little plates maybe?
I mean, yeah, unless you want a really briny table. So we've got, what did I say that was? Okay. That's a pre-sliced, which is interesting.
Pre-sliced, yes. I tend to get less of a crunch, I've learned from Pickle Watch.
Then you've got these, which I've never had, which is also Mrs. Elworth. Okay. Mrs. Elworth's sweet sour.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my word.
Then, hang on. These which are, a bit wrong.
Oh.
Which is the Garner's Gin Pickled Gherkins. So that is a real British cucumber.
What I loved about that was on your Pickle Watch, how surprised you were to enjoy that.
Yeah. I was horrified to enjoy that.
Poorly hidden.
I've been
horror.
Deeply
I'm just
assimilated.
Doing this to take a picture
of
them.
Yeah, do it. Then. this is too much. This is what happens when you invite. This is Heimischer, which was quite salty.
Ooh, yeah. I love that.
Then, I think this is the queen. This is the new green, which is like a fresh gherkin.
Right.
Which is in a, all the rest of them are in glass jars, but that's in a tub.
A massive, that's like a, it looks like it's for chefs, doesn't it? It's in a catering tub.
And then I did this on the way. But we don't need to get through all of these. This is like a, because mostly I think in this country, you're going to get your gherkins from like a corner shop that specialises in sort of Polish products, maybe.
Yes.
So I've not tried those before. That's the Dortona pickled gherkin.
Dortona pickled.
And then
gherkins.
There's pudding in there, which is the very wrong thing, which is the pickle pie.
You've made a pickle pie.
I made a pickle pie on the weekend for a
so hard to say
for a thing called the Lucky Jewathon.
Right.
Which was 72.
Well, this I'm afraid needs explaining.
72 hours of like. Conversation about we can cut this because it's very specific.
I really
but
like
it's a figure in Poland which is a tiny old-fashioned like Jew that looks like an old-fashioned Jew man with a beard holding coins, and you buy them at market,
right?
And people take them home and
buy the figurine at the market.
Buy the figurine at market. People take them home to bring them financial luck.
Uh-huh.
Not at all problematic.
Oh god.
So it was basically 72 hours performance launching off from that.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's a guy in Canada who did he's now in Canada.
God. Anyway, that's so fun. I'd like to leave that in. Oh
yeah, you can.
God. And the stuff that goes down. Is it true that those little golden cats with like the shaking arm, is that for money luck?
I think that is for money luck.
Less problematic. Who knows?
I mean, yeah, I'm sure someone will tell us if it is problematic.
They will, won't they? It's almost a shame that Conrad's left actually, because he could have stood up. He could have stood up for himself there.
I have had no role in my own representation in these figures. Therefore. That's all. Have a lot of gherkins, basically.
Oh my god, I'm really excited to try some gherkins.
Yeah,
we'll do it. And we've got a cup of tea with our gherkins.
Yeah, which I think is good. I was going to bring some, like, Rennies, but I didn't.
I've got some Rennies.
Great. You might need them.
Got a little basket, medicine basket down there, and I've definitely got Rennies in.
Which is what, it's sort of what you need. Where do you want to start?
Ooh.
I mean,
I'm most excited about the salty one, so maybe get the sweet guy out the way first.
Okay. Shall I open this?
Yeah, sweet sour.
Sweet sour. Shall we see if we can get a pop out of it?
Yeah, oh, lovely.
I don't know.
Lovely noise.
Oh, see, it was never. You see, when someone's watching.
That's horrible. Oh, look away. Yes!
Not bad.
I almost spoke over it.
There you go.
It's like anything worse than opening a jar when people watching is parking, I think.
Yeah, hideous. Hideous.
With an audience.
I did such a good parallel part.
Did you?
Out here. I was really proud of myself.
Oh, nice one.
If yours has got a little tail on it.
Mine's got a hair. like it's got a wig on.
Like it's got a small.
One wispy wig on.
So I'm not trying. So this is a Mrs. Elswood sweet sour. Shall we see what we think?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think it's been too long since I had a gherkin.
When did you last have a gherkin?
I can't remember. That's bad, isn't it?
No. Mm. Is it just not something you'd have in the fridge?
It is something I had in the fridge, but oh god, it's so nice. Mm. I stopped buying them. My ex hated them, and I would buy them and then be like under pressure alone to finish a jar.
And they're big jars.
Yeah. But I mean, I can do it.
Yeah.
But it got to the point where it's like, if I can't get them and have them at a pace I want, I'll stop getting them. I used to get them from Aldi, and they were ones that were so spicy, and I loved them. But I was definitely dancing with pleasure pain boundaries.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
really nice.
Lush.
That's nice.
Mm.
That is sweet and sour.
Mm.
I mean, but it is and kind of fresh.
The sour's a given. It's a gherkin.
Yeah, this is the disturbing thing.
But it's not too sweet, is it?
No.
They don't feel like they've had to go overboard on that.
No, I think that's quite... That's good.
Mrs. Elswood, you've done very well.
Piece of cheddar and that.
Oh, good
idea.
Great.
Yeah. That'd be good. I mean, yeah something like
something,
that.
Something salty, yeah.
Something like... fatty and salty.
Yeah.
Because normally you have them with like smoked salmon mm-hmm. or you have them with salt beef, mm-hmm. like things that are super fatty.
Yeah, and salty.
And salty. Yeah. And so then they sort of cut through them. Good, isn't
it? Perfect.
Well done.
Yeah. I've loved that.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
I'm really happy with that.
Good. I'm going to add that to my yes list.
I look forward to the pickle watch on that and the rating that it gets.
I think that's high.
Yeah.
That's an 8, I think. Also, like, the ratings... I've already been attacked for the ratings.
Have you? Yeah, For being too kind?
For being too kind, especially to the British gherkin.
Right.
I was attacked.
Oh, I understand what's... Okay.
Yeah, I was attacked for...
Attacked?
For basically applauding cultural appropriation.
Oh, I see what's happened there, yeah. Oh, God, it's tricky, isn't it?
Isn't it? I was like, look, I just like it. Doesn't matter that it's just a British version of something. That didn't go well. Not with it.
So what culture do pickles originate from? Is it several?
It's loads.
Right.
It's like, actually, I was reading about it, and I think they had them in India.
You accidentally, through something to do with a lockdown, had to become a pickle historian. But I think food history is fascinating.
I think it's fascinating. And my aunt actually does that as a job, so I should really ask her. Yeah.
She's a food historian.
Like Victorian food. So
wicked.
Often you go to her house and she's like made something so bizarre that's like from a Victorian cookbook.
Yes.
And so yeah, it's brilliant eating at her house.
Wow. Does she use, I don't know how to describe it, but like there's spices and herbs that grow in English parks and forests and mushrooms and stuff like that that we just don't use anymore. Just went out of fashion. But in Victorian times, apparently, were big into it, like hawthorn and
mace.
Oh God! Like an absolute twat, I did a foraging walk in.
Did you
in a London park? And it was, I can't remember anything from it because I was like secretly really early pregnant and really knackered and not really listening and terrified that I was going to eat something that was going to get me. All I remember from it is dandelion roots, and after that, I spent a couple of years like really annoyed actually at how hard it is to pluck out a whole dandelion root.
I've never tried.
And then you got to dry it and roast it, but then you can grind it up, and it tastes amazingly with coffee.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah,
but just quite
just cardamom.
Yeah, and you can just buy that.
Yeah.
You can just buy it. So yeah, that stuff. Where came from?
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I just feel like I feel like
a pickle historian.
I have had
and then
to
I ask
pickle historian.
You what culture pickles come from.
Sort of. So a lot of these guys will be Polish-y, Ukrainian-y, Russian-y, that area. I think this is where I'm like, keep talking and maybe you'll know the answer. It's like a winter thing. Pickle them in the summer.
Right.
And put them in a massive vat.
Yeah.
Then you got your veg. You got your veg sorted for winter when there's nothing.
Yeah.
And then all those people went to New York.
Really?
And so all the like, Ukrainian folk who went to New York or Russians were like, great, Lower East Side, loads of pickles, we'll do the same thing.
Glorious.
I know, it's quite nice. But then you've also got like, it's hip again, I think. The whole quickle thing is like...
Oh, quickling is really hip.
Super hip.
I know a guy who used to be a chef on Dabbles of It Still who, he did a hoovering and he had pickled so many different things, not just gherkins.
No.
All sorts of things. Celery.
Ooh.
Which I was like... I don't know.
Oh, was it?
Because I think it was all pink peppercorns. It was so spicy. Basically, everything tasted really spicy. So I loved it.
Yeah.
What else? Can't remember what else. I have to look up the old episode.
Yeah.
My son is accidentally sexist quite often. And he's 5, and one of his, the most sexist things he's ever said to me was off the back of eating some gherkins.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that long ago. And he said, Mum, he's had, for context, he's got a couple of books about the body that he's really into, so he's just really into learning about the different functions inside and out of the body.
Yeah.
And he's been a bit obsessed through lockdown with reproductive stuff. Anyway, he said...
Because he's going to be obsessed the rest of your life.
Oh, God. I mean, so many things he's come up. But he said, are the sour things we're eating good for you? And I said, yeah, I think they are. I think actually fermented food is good for your gut, I think. And he went, well, I hope while you're eating, you're thinking about whether or not it's good for your womb.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's big, isn't it?
That's really big.
Really sexist, really accidentally sexist. He's definitely bragging that he knows I've got a womb.
Yeah, I've got a womb, and he knows the word.
Yeah.
And he can use it in a sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
But can you imagine if every time you ate something, you were like, I wonder if this is good for my womb?
Yeah.
That's really the condition, bad. This yeah. hobnob.
Shall I have a cup of tea? How do I feel in my womb? Yeah. Have I got a hungry womb today?
Exactly. Makes me feel slightly sick.
Gross.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Maybe we should...
move on to another pickle. Let's
let's go. Do a fresh new green.
I'm really excited about
so
this.
So these are most recent. That's the most recent one, and these are whole cucumbers rather than a small gherkin. So they're fat.
Oh my god, they're massive.
They're massive.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Someone was like,
sniff it, may I?
Yeah, do it.
Oh, it does smell different as well, doesn't it?
It's fresher.
Oh, it smells of the summer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really true, actually. There's something...
It really smells of, like, Wimbledon.
There's something hopeful about them. Too. I mean, just dig in. There's something hopeful about them, I think.
Yes.
And maybe when you say the taste of summer, maybe that's what it is. Memories of being outdoors. go for it.
Okay.
It's wibblier, isn't it?
Yeah, it is wibblier, because it's a big wibblier. Whole cucumber, this guy. Mmm. That's even better.
I think so.
That's levelled up. There's just more thing to have soaked up all the lush flavour.
Yeah. And it's got like mustard seeds going on. Oh, garlic. I think that's the thing the other one doesn't have.
Yeah.
This one's garlicky.
Oh, this feels like... The first one was like, okay, I've had a really nice time in Burger King.
Mm.
And now I feel like someone's taken me to Five Guys.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. It's really true. That's like... It's got a kind of swag about it.
Mm.
I think it knows it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a very ugly, ugly tub, but it doesn't matter. It's not doing design.
It's not about the tub.
It's not.
Never judge a pickle by its tub.
It's tub, you should. I'm into those.
Okay, great.
I'm glad that you are.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
I'm going to ask you a totally random and unrelated pickle
thing. Yeah, please do.
But in your acting that you've done and theatre stuff, have you ever done any eating as part of that that's been memorable?
Oh god, yeah. Because like, when I started, I was doing sort of more live arty type things.
Yeah.
And a lot of live art, especially when you're starting out, involves eating things. Because I think you get like super interested in the body.
Right.
And like doing real things. Because you're like, it's not theatre, it's real. What's a real thing I can do? Like eat something.
Yeah.
So I did this. God, I've forgotten all about it. Actually, two things. I did a thing where I was trying to do... It was all about, like, history and heritage and family trees. And I was like, how could I eat my family tree? What can you eat that's like a tree? Twiglets. And so then I did the scene. I had to repeat it so many times where I absolutely fill my mouth with twiglets and then slowly eat them. And you can't... I mean, it absolutely shreds the roof of your mouth.
Of course, because the Marmite.
The Marmite. And so you can't do a run. This is why I think live art doesn't do, like, full runs. Because it's too full on for your body. So I just used to, like, shred it. Absolutely shred the roof of my mouth. And dry it out so I couldn't say anything.
I didn't think about the finale of the show.
So the massive twiggle eating. And then I did a thing where... Oh my god, I just remember this other thing with, I worked with a woman called Nat Tarab, who's like this brilliant, so I'm like 5'3" little, and she's 6 foot sort of Scandi, gorgeous looking thing. And we did this show called Tomboy Blues, which was all about sort of gender, and we had this scene where she was dressed, I mean, pretty much only in tights and heels, which is hilarious because I never wear heels. And I was strapped to a chair. I mean,
classic.
And it was her. I don't know what we were doing. This ran for bloody ages as well. Yeah. Every night she force fed me a can of tuna.
Oh,
yeah. And it's
never anything nice.
No,
it's something that you want a lot of. Just dry tuna. Which did you go for? In spring water, sunflower oil, or brine?
I probably went for brine because I'm a sicker. And she's vegan.
Oh,
and
God.
She was just
helpful
like,
for her too.
It was not good. I think that was a, terrible... Well, not particularly extensive metaphor about lady bits, you know, right, going on. That's what that was about. But it was, I mean, I was full of protein, tell you that.
Yeah.
That lovely. Was good. But I think there's probably all sorts of like terrible.
Did it put you off tuna for a bit?
Yeah, I haven't had it for a while. Really, for a while. So it's just like every day. No, and then one day, I think we'd had a very slight argument. We never used to argue. And she jammed the spoon into my mouth and cut me on stage. You know, when you're on stage, you don't feel when you've been injured. And then really I came off adrenaline. And I was like blooded. So I still, I remember that. But yeah, nothing nice. Not like
trauma racing on stage. Yeah. But even then, generally, when done as part of some acting, it's got to be done to such an excess that it's ruined.
Yeah, that it's a disaster.
Have you ever done any eating competitions?
I've always wanted to do.
Even like with a sibling or anything?
No, because I lose.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not having that. I'm highly competitive, but only at things I can win. The worst kind of Yeah, no, I would not. I've got a brother and he can really eat.
Right.
He can really eat. And my dad can really eat.
Damn.
So I don't think I've ever got. I'm kind of. I've always watched the Coney Island hot dog eating competition.
Never seen it. I've had my eyes opened by brilliant, you know, lovely Hoovering guests who occasionally are very into it. I don't know if it's for me to watch. But there's a new Netflix series called Champions, something Champions, and it's not just about, they're all different. The first one's about cheese rolling and people that get really into that. So it's about weird competitions around the world. And the second episode is hot chilies. And I, having been like, oh God, okay. I think I had a brilliant comedian called Chloe Petz on this podcast and I was a bit of an arsehole. Like I was like, I just don't think it's good. I don't think those people have got ordered eating. I'm worried about people that want to eat to excess as a sport. Like I'm not sure. Like, there's something about it. It's jarring with me. And then afterwards, and actually sort of during the conversation, I sort of had to have a word with myself. I bring a lot of baggage.
Is this a reaction or a response?
Actually, a lot of people might be fine and it might be really fun. And why can't it be a sport? You probably are only doing as extreme things to your body as a jockey is to stay light or whatever. Yeah, like this, I mean, you know. Anyway, it was interesting. It was interesting. I shocked myself by that.
By the vehemence of it.
So when I saw this episode, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to love this or be up for this, but I'll give it a whirl. And then I was like, this was amazing. It's just watching people retching and their noses running and like them going all purple. And I think once I got over the fact that I realised it's a light bit of Netflix series. I'm not going to watch someone die.
No,
but it's okay to watch it.
I don't know. It does feel like self harm a little bit.
Oh, it's definitely self harm. Once they get to a certain point with the chilies, once they get to their stomach, basically, because they sit there and they eat hotter after hotter chili, like it gets harder, and it's basically survival of the leatheriest innards. And you can tell that the bloke that won it was like had whatever one of those or like disorders or whatever where you don't feel pain in a normal way. Like he wasn't even really sweating, and everybody else was. But anyway, when chilies that hot get to your stomach, it contracts and convulses, like it spasms and it's agony.
Oh.
And your whole face and all your, you know, mouth pipes and mouth are utterly, eyes, everything, head numb.
That sounds like classic Victorian torture.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And it's definitely tipped over the pleasure-pain boundary into
deep
sort of
pain.
Deep pain, yeah.
But maybe back again.
Yeah,
and then maybe circle.
Back again. Yes.
Like back into deep.
But it was fascinating. I mean, I'm basically just utterly spoiling this episode. But it was fascinating watching the reasons why people said they were there and doing it. I would assume it was just 90% toxic masculinity, but it wasn't. There was, you know, there was a trans person there. There was a recovered addicts. There are people with all these like histories. With shit to deal with.
And then we're going to deal with it.
And I was like, yeah, but feel like kind of an found an acceptable form of self-harm.
Public like flagellation.
Yeah.
But with like applause.
Yeah, totally.
Because when else do you get the applause?
Yeah, totally. But the worst thing, and this is awful, is that it got to the end, and these people have like taken themselves to the edge of consciousness.
Whoa.
And then when the winner was announced, I think they were like, "Oh, well done! Your prize is $1,000." I was like, "What?" And that's the biggest competition in the world of it. Of
grand.
Of chili eating. And that's dollars. So what's that, like 500 quid?
Yeah.
Like, fuck off!
That's That's your health bills. Like,
I'm very privileged to think that 500 quid is not that much money for doing that, but fuck off.
Yeah.
And that makes me go, oh, that's, I'm not sure I like that. There's going to be people who are doing that for the money.
For the money. And like, yeah, the health bills in America for what you've done to your gut.
Yeah.
It's going to be it's going to be a grand.
They've negative equity there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, this should pay for the Gaviscon. Like, yeah, no.
Oh,
that's,
God.
I mean, I will watch it. Clearly, I will.
I've only asked as far into the episodes as I've got.
I will definitely watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please maybe try another.
Yeah, do you want to pick?
Okay. Can I try Heimischer?
Yeah, do it.
Heimischer cucumbers.
Whoopsie. That's Mrs. Elswood. I thought she was a real lady.
Oh, no. Is she not? Yeah. She looks real.
She does look real. She's got a lovely face.
Who does she look like? She looks like Ruby Wax.
Ruby Wax or... Helen Rollison from Newsround.
Oh, if you're an 80s kid. Yes, she does.
Yeah, a bit like that. But she's not... Well, she might be. The woman, the picky might be. But yeah. Elswood is a portmanteau of Elstree and Boreham Wood.
Oh,
two, like,
right.
Fairly Jewish-y neighbourhoods, like, okay. North of London. So I was a bit gutted when I found that out.
Oh.
But, you know...
Okay, I'm going.
So you're going for Heimischer. I'm not going to say anything about these before you eat that one. It's getting funnier and funnier to me. Just the like small kind of cylinder, green cylinder coming out of a jar. All right.
I love that.
Do you? Fascinating.
My new favourite. Everyone I'm having is my new favourite.
Tell me why you like it.
I'm an absolute motherfucker for salty things.
Oh, okay. That was brand new.
I'm like a little bit Austrian. And that whole side of my family are perverts for salt. Like,
oh, wow.
My aunt would just cut a snack of tomato in half and load it up with like a visible mound of table salt. And that's... I really feel like it's in my DNA. Like, I've tried to shift it. I consciously put less salt than I want in everything so that other people can enjoy it.
So they're not just like, ah.
And you know, my son, not really allowed.
No, but you know,
so okay. Good.
It's really salty.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like 100% salt, basically. That is, for me, that's like tipping into, it's not quite tipping into self-harm,
right.
But you could keep going on that salt. Like, trajectory.
Do you want to know something gross, but I think one of the reasons why I'm particularly loving this now, look, I just had shit sleep for the last week and I've got an ulcer, like a little row of ulcers, and it feels incredible.
Is it
just curing it? It's what you do, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's supposed to gargle salt.
Yeah, with salt.
I've been like, I've got this like leftover bottle of saline, like sterilised saline water that I bought years ago when my son was a baby, because you've got a little tube in it you can squirt up their nose to unblock a baby's nose.
So you're not like... Putting babies at them.
Yeah, so that was 5 years ago. But I just use it now to just fire at ulcers if I get them. And this is just like
the
mothership of ulcer cures, isn't it?
But you get a gherkin at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you don't get that with the spray.
If the ulcer was in a more convenient place, I could just rub it straight on.
Yeah, just whack a piece of gherkin. It sounds like an oldie cure.
Yeah, Roman times cure.
For ulcers. Tiny bit of gherkin up into the cheek. Yeah, really salty. Because some of them are in brine and some of them are in vinegar. So
what does Heimischer mean?
It means, it's Yiddish and it means like homey.
Okay.
Yeah,
these are,
so
homey,
like, these are homey cucumbers.
Homely.
Yeah.
Or like my homie.
I mistakenly said homely, and yet again I was in the comments that it's homey. Like, but I don't actually understand the difference between homely and homey.
Yeah.
Homey. Yeah, I don't know. Of the home.
Of the home.
Of the home.
These are pickles to have at home.
Yeah, exactly. They're not for outdoors.
Don't take that on a picnic.
Yeah, exactly. What have you done?
You've broken the homely rules.
I was reading about them recently and it made me laugh because someone had written like, gherkin, food type, hors d'oeuvre. So strict about that. That is an hors d'oeuvre. That's not for eating at any other time. I mean, I could eat them. Yeah, I'll leave that with
that's
you.
That's what the other thing I thought I'd check, because obviously on Pickle Watch, we see you try a pickle.
Yeah.
But like, we're already three pickles in. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, okay, I'm going to just keep going.
Okay, great.
If you're up for keeping on going.
Now that I've talked about, I think it would be quite funny to go from ulcers into romantic eating.
Oh.
But like, have you ever done any really romantic eating things?
I I was, for some reason, on the way, I knew we were going to talk about eating. And then I remember the last time we met and we chatted, it was about Your Sex or Shit. So it was about sex writing.
Amazing show.
And then I was thinking about sex and food, which is not the same as like romantic
eating.
Well,
no, it's not the same. But also another question I sometimes ask people is, have you ever used food for anything other than eating?
It comes into it.
Yeah.
Romantic eating.
I mean, romantic. I think a sexy use of food is, if anything, a better conversation than one about romantic use of food.
But it's, yeah, I mean,
there's sharing a bit of spaghetti.
Yeah. And then there's shoving it where the sun goes. Very painful if you haven't cooked it, and tricky if you have.
Oh no, yeah, you don't want uncooked spaghetti popped anywhere.
No one wants that. Someone's done it.
It's too thin to gain anything from it. You'd need to get the whole packet.
Yeah, and that's got that really sharp.
It's hard. Yeah, the plastic's too scratchy, and even were you to unsheath it,
yeah,
the actual ends of uncooked.
No, there's. Stabby. No,
it's spikes.
Yeah.
It's a series of spikes bunched together.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No. Don't try that. We haven't, and you mustn't.
In this thought experiment, we conclude absolutely not.
Just a couple of queer women eating fast
and talking about what you shouldn't put up your fanny. Romantic eating. I think it is like... The act of being with someone and eating something for the first time, that is amazing.
Yes.
I think there's a real romance in that.
Yeah, well, trying something for the first time together.
Well,
I think it's so true. Even trying going to a restaurant you've never been to before.
Like, it's exciting.
You have a shared experience, yeah.
And like that moment of eating something so good. Do you have that moment where if you eat something so good, it makes you absolutely laugh? Have you ever had that? And so I think like having that experience with people is joyous and there's a sort of romance to it.
Yeah.
But then I suppose, I don't know. I think it's more about like a platonic love, I think, of feeding people.
Yeah.
And that classic thing of like showing love by feeding.
Absolutely.
Which is definitely what I grew up with. So, but kind of, and then like, I mean, the sex is done. No. There wasn't an incident where someone thought it would be great to rub their hands in chili, thank you very much. And then come at me. And it was not good. That relationship didn't last.
But they were doing that to be sexy.
Yeah, to be
not
sexy.
To be cruel.
No, it wasn't. And it wasn't even like a cruel, sexy game. It wasn't even in that game. It wasn't, you know, because people do lots of stuff, you know, with nettles or whatever. But it wasn't that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't nice.
Oh, no.
And also, it built, you think it's all right.
Yeah.
And then it builds and you're like, everything is on fire.
Yeah.
This is the least sexy thing that's ever happened.
Oh, God, no. Even once there'd been some moisturiser on somebody's hand that I had like a reaction to that was like, no, thank you. That is a very cheap, nice, like aromatic after sun that is not meant to go near an undercarriage.
No, don't. Oh, so yeah, God, chili in that area was not good.
No.
But I haven't like, because you kind of, I don't know, I'm trying to think about like being a teenager, one's like, oh yeah, paintable chocolate body. No, did you ever do that? Chocolate body paint or like melting.
I bought it for people. Like it will have been in Teenage Secret Santas, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I think I just would have eaten it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would have eaten it by the spoon.
Going anywhere near a body. In that same way that I probably wasn't really regularly going near getting to anybody's bodies anyway, at that point. Sadly sat with a spoon eating a pot of edible body chocolate paint.
Got any plans tonight?
Yeah, I have actually.
God, it is like that. No. But yeah, like romance. Yeah, I think it's the new. It's the new, like the discovery, really.
Yeah, that's a good show.
I haven't been in relationships where you know how people have like their song. I haven't had relationships where people have like their dish. Is that a thing?
I think it probably is, but I don't know whether, I don't know, I almost certainly will be, won't it? Be like, oh, make me that thing that I love.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether our generation are as like that, because we're a bit like addicted to variety generally, like compared to, I guess because well, we change jobs more often, we change partner more often.
Yeah, exactly. Everything.
We do like have a lot more variety in our life. We're not, but I still meet people who are like, no, I have the same thing on Mondays and the same thing on Fridays.
Wow.
And then I have a very small repertoire
of
stuff that works. But even that will probably change each year.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, yeah, I don't know.
Because my mum's very much like, oh, I'm quite an old-fashioned cook compared to your generation. And in a way, she is. But the idea of, like, lots of things on a... She's quite traditional. She's good, but she's, like, super traditional. So the idea of, like, what, you've got a bit of pickled fennel on the side there. That's fancy.
Right.
All that sort of thing just wouldn't happen. She likes to eat it, but she just feels like she's not capable of prepping, like, modern food.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Talk to me about eating growing up. Was she in charge of...
She was in charge of it. Yeah. And looking back, I think I was an absolute ungracious twat. The woman cooked every meal.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, my dad would do like a curry on a Sunday. He loves eating and he's actually quite good at it.
Yeah.
But it was kind of classic gender role stuff going on. And she cooked like, and we would take the piss because she is a very good cook. Helen, you're a very good cook. and she was renowned for like overcooking. I couldn't understand why people were so excited about roast chicken or lamb chops or steak. Because it would be a process of like really tapping it on the table when it came, because it'd be so over.
God.
But I actually think like, yeah, I mean, you cooked every, for like years. Oh, of course you don't give a shit.
And when you say ungracious, you were just like, oh, here we go. Or were you fussy or both?
No, I wasn't fussy at all. No. But I just was, it was like, I don't think I appreciated the labour of it.
Yeah,
the expectation.
The monotony, potentially.
Yeah. And then so if I was a knob about the lamb chops being, we used to call it like roast chicken, like upholstery. And it was. And I was just not thinking of the amount of time that the poor bloody woman was in the kitchen cooking for us. And it was like really good food.
Yeah.
On the whole, apart from the meat, the like really solid meat.
I'm in my tum.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Let's talk about ritualistic eating. Do you think, have you ever been party to any eating rituals? Have you ever had a time where you ate the same thing every day?
Not every day, but I think the thing that Judaism does is do eating rituals. Like, I wonder if there is a daily one. I don't think there is.
Yeah, of course. But educate us.
Well, just because you do, like, there is a classic thing to have on a Friday night.
Right.
Which might differ from family to family.
Yeah.
But, like, your classic Friday night dinner will normally be some kind of, like, it's a bit like a Sunday roast.
Yeah.
But you'll have it on the Friday.
Okay.
So that's, like, that feels classic. At some point over the weekend, you'll probably have, like, a bagel and smoked salmon and cream cheese.
Right.
And so those are, like, I suppose, like, culturally ritualistic things. But then you've got your ritual, which is sort of Passover, so yearly. That is a meal. It's a ritual meal.
Yeah.
And there are things you have to have.
In a certain order.
In a certain order, yeah.
Ooh, like
what? So you have to have half an egg dipped in salt water.
Oh my god, I'm gonna love that.
I know you'd love it because it's so salty.
Yeah,
yeah, you would love it. And that's like they're all
hard boiled egg.
Hard boiled egg in salt water. That's like a thing.
Passover, yes.
You have to have bitter herbs. So that can be like you can go in like a parsley direction, or I like to go in a hardcore horseradish direction.
Yes,
raw
please.
Horseradish.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's a thing, God, what's it called? I actually don't like it. It's meant to like represent everything is about suffering. it's meant to represent, God, I can't remember the word. I'll have to look it up, otherwise I'll get hate mail. It's meant to represent the mortar that was used to build the pyramids in Egypt.
Uh-huh.
And it's made of like nuts and wine and
Ooh.
Apples
Ooh.
And like zhuzhed up. And actually, like, it shouldn't. All the ingredients
that
are nice.
Sounds great.
Yeah, but I'm not into it.
Yeah,
not into that.
Okay.
There's like,
what's the consistency of it? Like, well,
that's
like
the
a paste.
Problem.
Like
it's a paste.
It's that's hard the problem. To enjoy a paste.
Yeah.
Lonely paste.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Claggy. It's not good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else? Well, matzah, which is the flat bread, which is, you know, cracker adjacent.
Uh-huh.
And that's not a thing you enjoy. Because the thing is, it's an 8-day festival, and if you're doing it properly, you don't have any raised yeasty product. The whole thing is
right.
like. The Jews were running from Egypt. They didn't have enough time to like raise their breads,
okay.
And so you're just eating this flat bread as like a symbol.
Cracker adjacent.
And if you imagine what that does to your guts,
yeah,
for 8 days just eating crackers, like a lot of crackers, it sends people in two directions.
Right, I understand.
Yeah,
especially after the hard-boiled egg day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're either just not going to see anyone. For 8 days, or you're just with people that are increasingly
really
grumpy.
Really angry, constipated.
Completely. And they'll tell you about it, because the thing about like Jewish bowels is that it's an absolute fine to discuss.
To chat about that.
Yeah, completely.
Perfect.
So you'll hear about the shitting. So yeah, I think like ritual eating, it totally belongs to Judaism, because that's
Glorious.
Where like these cycles come back.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, I think it's interesting to, like...
The things you can't have at the same time and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing... See, I'm not a good... I'm quite a bad Jew in terms of observance.
Right.
Like, I can do this gherkin...
Business.
Jewishness really well. But strictly, yeah, there's massive, like,
can't
eating
have
rules.
Dairy and...
It comes from, you're not meant to cook a kid in its mother's milk, is
right.
the phrase. So yeah, no meat and milk at the same time.
Right.
Kosher meat, which has got no blood in it.
Yeah.
And also no seafood.
Oh, okay.
It's a real fucker. I feel for them.
All seafood or just shellfish?
Shellfish. So
yeah.
Fish have to have scales and fins to be kosher.
Right.
So none of the kind, in a way like... And no pig, obviously. It's like a health thing. I mean, religious Jews will be like, no, it isn't.
Yeah.
But looking back, you go, you were living in a desert with no refrigeration. You're
yeah,
not eating
yeah,
pig,
yeah.
and you're not going to eat shellfish.
Yeah.
At that time, because you know you'd be quite ill.
It's so yeah, sure. It's, yeah, totally. It's so interesting that the sort of accumulation of rules in any culture, let alone religion,
yeah.
is so fascinating.
Yeah. And I think like what it does is if you're strictly kosher, you can't mix.
Yeah.
Which is the point.
Right.
You can't go and eat with non-Jews.
Right.
You have to eat in Jewish restaurants, or you have to eat at Jewish kosher homes.
To know that your rules are going to be all right.
Yeah. So it keeps the community.
Yeah.
You know, in a negative way, insular, or in a
yeah.
positive way, together, depending
yeah.
on how
yeah,
you feel
yeah,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So it's designed to like. Stop outsiders and stop you
Maybe
mixing
it's
with
sort
outsiders.
Of the growth of veganism is the great unifier.
Maybe it is. It is. Yeah,
it
completely.
Is, like,
because
you're
really
like,
any...
well, okay,
yeah.
I've met. I think I'm all right for all the rules of this.
Yeah, the rabbis are furious by it. We're gonna have so much people marrying non-Jews, and what will happen? Yeah, that's true. Brilliant in that way.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. As if it wasn't already pious enough. Pious as in, and then not in the religious sense. I want one more.
Yeah, do.
Can
go
try
for that
this
one.
New
I've never had
Dortona.
That before.
We don't know anything about these guys.
No,
complete mystery. I'm going to do the embarrassing.
Do it.
Oh, what a noise.
That's what you've been training for.
You get to feel like a god, don't you, when you hear the popper opener of the gherkin. Yes.
How does the fork go in? Does it have resistance?
Yeah, that was a great question to ask. It's not something, I'm too impatient to have cared. This is solid as a rock.
Okay, nice.
Pretty old, solid old gherkin here. Well, there's a bit of give once it's between finger and thumb.
So this is a Polish you guy.
Nice. Quite sweet again.
Oh, that's hit me. That's hit me like vinegary receptors.
Oh, ow, yeah. Down in the jawline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's really herbal.
I like that. At first I was like, this is going to be too sweet for me, but...
It is sweet.
There is, you're right. That's there's a mint even.
There's quite a blue. There's something going on, isn't there?
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Almost tastes like chamomile.
Oh, yeah.
It can't be.
Gherkin's water, spirit vinegar, sugar, salt, spices. All right, cheers, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks
for
a lot.
That.
Yeah, right. Might as well have put solids and liquids.
Yeah, no. That is stripping your moisture out of your face. In the way that I quite like. Right, that's floral.
Yeah, it's delicate. Yes. Yeah. Something's giving it sweet. Well, I suppose it's sugar, but it's nice.
Yeah, it's quite nice. Well done.
Such a great idea. Whoever first did that to a tiny cucumber is a genius.
It's a total genius. Because
although is that not a cucumber? Is it a tiny? Is it a baby cucumber, a gherkin? Or is it a different
beast?
I
think it's a different beast.
I think it might be a different beast.
Yeah, a different plant.
I don't know what it
looks like unpickled. Just like a small, a weeny cucumber. I don't know.
I wonder if it's like a caterpillar and it looks entirely different.
And then you put it in and you
and
keep looking at it every day.
Butterfly.
I hope that is true.
Yeah.
I'm going to imagine that is the case.
It starts off
looking
just like a broad bean. Something very
boring.
Something
boring and disappointing.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I'm into this.
Yeah, that one's good.
You don't have to answer this. Yeah. But you've always had a sort of good relationship with eating? Has it ever been complicated in any way?
I think it got in the classic tedious way, it got complicated at puberty.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so, so tedious. Because I was such a, I had such sort of gender stuff going on, and I still do.
Yeah.
That, I was convinced that I could choose, and I would choose male. And so So then the kind of body transformation around puberty and then the kind of awareness of male gaze and then being like, oh God, okay, I need to look at my body as an object. Mm. And I was always sort of small, but I definitely got fatter in my teenage years.
Right.
And was aware of that being an issue.
Right.
And so then I started doing some weird eating stuff. It didn't last very long. I was in an all-girls school.
Oh, God. Yeah, it never helps.
And it was...
Just sort of restricting-ish type stuff.
Yeah, just sort of restricting stuff and being... Mm. And actually, to be honest, not being particularly good at it.
Right.
Because, maybe luckily, it didn't get... It didn't massively get into my psyche.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, all-girls schools, I mean, nightmare for that kind of thing.
Absolute hellscape in terms of orderly eating.
Orderly eating, forget it. And just the kind of, showing off of how little you were having and all of that. And there was another school that was the cutting school. One school had all the eating stuff.
Right.
And the other stuff had all the self-harmy stuff. And you just think, what are we doing to our young women? It was bad. But I think, and then recently... I've been thinking about eating for... I've never just thought about eating as calories, ever.
Yeah, as fuel. Good.
Yeah.
It's too much... It's too joyful.
Yeah, far too joyful.
I think that's a great thing. I mean, I think the way you put it there has made me think, I think the difference of... I sometimes have an element of envy for people who can just see food as fuel, just in terms of, I suppose, it opens up that much other stuff, room in their heart and life of... an energy reserves for other things and perhaps other types of creativity or whatever. But for me, I think it's so worth
the effort and energy and
emotion. I was going to say, I don't care about those people and their extra energy, which is kind of unfair.
Because also, well, where are you going to put it then? Where else could you get more joy back from than eating? I feel like it's the difference between people who've chosen to be incredibly productive but not put the heartache and effort in that it takes to have real friends and the people who are like, I can be more productive if I sort of fly solo and get, and then I'll get to do what I want whenever I want. I feel like it's those different people. You're like, okay, I know that it's an effort, but it's so worth it in the long run.
I think,
oh well, and the short run.
Yeah, every
in every run, every, it's so worth it. I should have just said it's so worth it. I'm sort of editing live, editing verbally live.
But it's just, I just think it's so. I mean, I will, like you were saying, I'll often be thinking and talking about another meal. Yeah. As I'm having this meal.
Yes.
And my friend Gemma said that that was like completely characteristic in her family, that they would sit down to eat and 5 minutes spent talking about this and then what are you going to eat next and tomorrow. Yeah. And it's, I just think that, I mean, I think that's totally norm.
It's lovely, isn't it? I just stopped myself, I think, because during lockdown, where it's just me and my girlfriend, and it's like, I need to get more topics. Like, when it's just you and one person constantly, you know, I think if you were, if you had a more broader variety of people to talk to, but when you've just come out of this patch of time where it's just two adults anyway, having the same conversations about what you're going to eat next 24/7, I do just, I internalise it a lot at the moment,
the wall.
The conversations about, and then wait until she says, What do you think we'll have for lunch and dinner tonight? Well, what will happen is...
let me give you my prepared monologue.
Here we go!
Yeah. Yeah, completely. And, you know, it's not a... That is, it's not a smart thing to say that this is how we're marking time at the moment. Like, of course we're marking time by eating, because there's fuck all else to understand the day by, really.
Yeah.
Your
world becomes what you're eating, and then occasionally what you're doing with your body for exercise, if you can.
If you can be asked.
Yeah.
But, and also, like, I do, I mean, the exercise stuff that I do, part of it is just so that I can... See, this suggests some kind of fuck up, because I was about to say it's so that I can eat more.
Interesting. Right, very interesting.
So there's a voice there going.
And is your chosen type of exercise weightlifting?
Yeah.
Yes.
But, and that's a body image thing, right. which is about shape, which is about, I'm making a handshape.
You are.
I'm not making it, I'm a triangle. Yeah. So it's about trying to, not being happy with my own body fitting a female, I'm doing commas in the air.
Commas.
That sort of triangle with your like skinny top and your hip thing.
Tiny little head down
tiny
to
little head
hips.
Yeah. Like you get on a toilet door.
Yeah.
Don't want that. I'm always trying to do that and get your swimmers
from the waist
from
up.
The waist
you
up.
Want the broad shoulders.
Yeah. And I'm a small woman, so this will be an ongoing challenge.
Yes.
But so I suppose sometimes when I think about eating as, I rarely think about eating as fuel, but if I am, it will be like post-workout.
Like have some protein after a workout.
Let's eat a fuck ton of protein. And when I was working with a brilliant personal trainer, queer woman, who we often talk about kind of gender and stuff as part of it.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Yeah, she's great. Nikki Hobday.
Let's
she's
give
very
a shout
good.
Out
Let's
to
give
Nikki
Hobday.
I'll find her on Instagram and I'll put it in the podcast
very,
notes.
Very, very good. And she, when I was saying, look, how could I become Tom Daly? Which is the body I want.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what he's like. I'm sure, I don't know if I want to become him himself, but as a visual. And she was like, it's food. Like, you'd have to massively change. Of course you'd have to change the way you're training, but like just the consumption that's necessary. I mean, you know, like if you're really trying to gain that kind of weight.
I know a weightlifter at the moment who's going up a category. So having to like just, what's it called? Gains or whatever. Fuel up.
Yeah.
And eat an uncomfortable amount. I mean, I just don't think I could ever afford to do it. And I know it would fuck my head up.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it.
Well, because it's yet again...
It's another form of...
Yeah, another form of, like, viewed as something you have to... We'll just have to think about.
Yeah.
Totally. And not in a joyful way.
No, exactly. And it's not intuitive. It's not like you don't get to go, oh, I feel like something's tangy, or I feel like something... I need some... Oh, I fancy some sugar, actually. A little bit of sugar now. Like, you can't... You have to go, I'm having this at this time.
Yeah.
Which can fuck off.
Yeah, I think I don't have... I don't want it enough
to make that
part of my life.
Oh, and that's the other thing, I think. Sometimes I worry that I come... Well, there are times where there is just too much judgment in me, actually. But ultimately, there are people in all walks of life, from like the obvious ones like sports people and actors, right through to people who just choose to, for whatever reason, who are like, no, I want some kind of aesthetic or some bodily ability more than I want a relaxed life when it comes to eating.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Whatever. Yeah. You know, not everyone doing that is ill.
No.
It's just... The whole spectrum of different ways of being, isn't
completely.
It? Okay. I've kept you for ages. Absolutely bloody ages, actually.
I just want to... You have to eat this.
Okay. That's how I like to be offered food.
That is my mum. So sorry. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
I really like it. Hang on.
Before we go.
Oh, this is pickle pie.
This is pickle pie.
Oh, my God.
It's not right.
Okay.
It's the recipe... from the internet, from my mate Jonathan, who was like, there is a bakery in Utah that specialises in a gherkin pie. And so I made it for this thing that I was doing at the weekend. And I feel, I'm not going to, what do you reckon?
Okay, do you want to go in here like this? Do you want to cut off a proper slice or
just try it? It's basically like a sweet pie.
Oh, okay, so it's going to be like a...
It's a pudding.
Expecting feelings of a pudding.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, shit. I knew it's all fallen apart.
Yeah, but that's not your fault.
I knew I'd made my kid quite posh the other day when I passed him a sandwich in the car and he went, this isn't very stable.
Stable?
5 years old.
For a sandwich?
This isn't very stable.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Fucking you,
Joe Rayner. Okay.
The cruel laughter is giving away.
It's not cruel. You said you meant when you eat something so amazing that you just laugh. This is what's cruel is making me eat something you know I'm going to hate.
I was talking about my cruel laughter. It's not right, is it? I mean, I don't want to.
Well, things that I do like.
You can say absolutely.
Is there cinnamon?
Great. Good palate.
Pastry's lovely.
Pastry's fine.
Great pastry.
Yeah.
Why would you put?
That's the question, isn't it?
And what's the sort of main?
So it's basically a custard. It's like
custard.
It's like eggs and cream. It's all the things that would be absolutely fine.
Were it not having gherkins in it?
Yeah, and then they make you put gherkins in the hot.
It's not okay.
It's not.
Sorry.
I feel really similarly.
I love it when sweet and savoury come together well, and that's not how it works.
That's not how it works at all.
Custard and... I don't want that.
Isn't that basic? It's an egg custard with a gherkin on the top. This is what happens. I'm going to say something terrible. Yeah. This is what happens when Mormons start messing with pickles.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Aha. Oh, yeah. I feel brave. I feel like a big, brave girl.
You are.
The sun gets COVID and goes away to bed for a minimum of 2 weeks, so the entire universe begins to slowly die. It's absolutely dog shit. They've agreed to give the sun whatever miracle cure Trump apparently had, but only if you, and it does have to be you, Rachel, do 500 double unders, which are a disgusting type of skipping where it's meant to go over your whole body twice on each jump. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're the hero of all people for all time. Your reward is you go down history as a woman who has saved all of humanity from death.
Certain death.
Yeah. Death of our entire species forever. which is great. But your reward in the moment, and bearing in mind you are as hungry but also as happy as it's possible to be, so it's the opposite of the last meal, is the feast of your dreams.
Oh my God.
So were anything possible, this can be utterly fantastical if you wish it, and I don't give a shit about ethics, consequences, health, blah, blah, blah. I'd love to know, in a dream situation where you were as happy and hungry as possible, what would you eat and drink? And if there's a who, with, and where, a who, with, and where. And it can be no one on your own.
So I think I'd have to spend a bit of time remembering the meals that I'd had that made me laugh.
Yes!
And then recreating them. Mm. There is a... Oh, God, it's making me salivate. There's a... Brussels sprout dish, bear with me,
yeah,
in a restaurant in the Lower East Side called Pig and Cow.
Ooh.
And it's got toasted rice in it.
Mm.
And all of that kind of like fish saucy, like citrusy dressing stuff. And it's got pig cheeks in it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And so there'd be that.
Yeah.
Definitely that.
Mm.
There'd probably be a full, in my mind, this table is like several meters long.
Right.
And so you start there and then you travel through it. And the next bit is just loads of really amazing sashimi.
Yes.
The stuff that gives you like a caffeine hit almost.
Yes.
That. We'd spend some time there.
That's made my mouth water, the sashimi. Mm,
really good. Sobe sandwich from Rubin's in Marylebone High Road with a latke on the side, like the potato pancakes. Oh, we're heading into potato pancake season. Just remembered, that's exciting.
Yes.
There's a reason not to hate life for a moment. Lovely. so we'd probably go there.
Yeah.
Steak.
Nice.
Just really good steak.
Just a great steak.
Just a fucking great steak.
Great.
God, I've got way more table to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots and lots of meat. I really like meat. It's a problem.
Great.
It's a problem.
It's fine.
In this world, fuck it. the rest of the cast.
It's a fancy world.
Thank you, because we're not dead. So you can have one of our own.
Exactly.
A really good bacon sandwich, because that feels quite... We didn't really have pig at home, even though we weren't kosher, but
yeah,
so something transgressive about it.
Yeah,
I really like sweet things.
Did you
say,
did you hear my tummy? Really?
Yeah,
you said bacon sandwich. Right?
Like, and my tummy
went, ah. It went, oh yeah,
yeah, okay.
I hear it.
And I want
get that on the long table.
And then maybe just a lot of pistachio ice cream.
Oh yes, there's some in the freezer at the moment from Lidl, and it comes with like a little bit of like some kind of pistachio syrup in it and tiny shards of white chocolate on the top. It's a very sweet pistachio ice cream, but I'm big into it.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have that. I think perfect. That. I'm probably outdoors.
Outdoors, nice.
Yeah.
Very modern.
Yeah.
and with anyone?
I think like with Mel, with my partner, because she really likes food. I've got a selection of friends that just like eating
good,
so I think that it just have to be with them. Yeah. With like a crew of people that ordinarily we'd be going out to eat.
Yes.
So yeah, just some of them.
Lovely.
And probably my parents, though my dad eats very quickly and steals food off your plate, so he'd have to be at a social distance anyway.
He's allowed, but he's only allowed to eat with like litter pickers.
Yeah, completely
far away.
Because yeah, if you don't, right. We eat very fast in my
glorious
family, so he needs to be taught to slow down at the end.
I love it. Thank you so much. It's
thank
a
you.
Ace.
Delightful.
Oh, what a juicy, glorious, joyful episode. Make sure you're following Rachel. She's on Twitter. It's at Rachel of Mars. And at Pickle Watch, you better subscribe. I implore you to subscribe to Pickle Watch on YouTube and catch up with them all. They're really short and really funny. You can find them by searching Pickle Watch Reviews, and especially if you put Rachel Mars as well on YouTube. But as ever, I have put a link to those things, to Rachel and to Pickle Watch, in the podcast notes, along with links to everything else of interest that we mentioned throughout the podcast. Feel free to support the podcast with reviews, recommendations, telling other people about it. If you've got spare actual cash, you can help us out with that too on Acast Supporter, or even on Patreon, where you could help out in a more regular way in exchange for things like guest recipes and exclusive content. Follow the podcast all over the internet at The Hoovering Pod on Instagram and Twitter especially. I'm on there and all, at Jessica Foster Q. Got anything longer than a tweet to send me, you can email me through my website, jessicafosterq.com. That is also where I will hopefully soon have some updated news on my forever being rescheduled tour of Hench, my last show. I'm hoping that I can at least move, obviously these March dates that are on the website at the moment aren't going to happen, but anything that I can move into July and maybe even the start of August, I will. You'll be the first to know if you're checking regularly on my website, and or if you've already booked tickets, you should be hearing from the theatre soon too. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.